bless you. Luke chapter 1 this morning, Luke chapter number 1. We'll read the gospel according to Luke chapter number 1. As I was praying and seeking the Lord about what direction He'd have me to go for this Father's Day, the Lord almost immediately sent me in this direction. As we think about one of the fathers in the Word of God that had a major impact, and may the Lord add His blessing to this and speak to our hearts, I'm obviously speaking to all fathers. But if you're not a father, rules out all the ladies, right? And some of the men. These are truths that can be applied to all of our lives. So I want you to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. I remind you that any time the Word of God is opened and it's preached faithfully, in other words, it's given as it's written, the Lord God of heaven is speaking to us. And He's trying to say something to us. And today we lift out a character in the Bible that we can get some help from. Look at Luke chapter 1. Just going to read one verse of Scripture because we're going to be reading some of this chapter as we go through the message. Look at verse 67. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. The Word of God says, and his father, now the his here is John the Baptist. His, John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. Notice this phrase, his father, Zacharias. Now I want to preach to you on that subject this morning, his father, Zacharias. Let's pray together and we preach this thought. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for what our hearts have felt. And I pray as we come to this time in the service, the most important time where the Word of God is opened and it's preached, I pray that Holy Spirit of God, that you will be the preacher today. Empty me of myself, wipe me clean of myself, fill me with the power of God and challenges from your word, I pray, please, in Jesus' name, amen. John the Baptist was a mighty man of God. He was the forerunner of the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament. During his life, he was a powerful preacher. He saw the Lord and proclaimed Him to be the Lamb of God that must take away the sin of the world. He made much of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, you see him later in life saying Christ must increase and he must decrease. He was put into prison for taking a stand against Herod's sin of taking another man's wife. And it was in that prison that his head was cut off for preaching the truths of God's word. This man called John the Baptist was truly a man of God, mightily, mightily used for the glory of God. Matter of fact, I'm 38 years old. John, his head was already severed from his body before he reached my age. He was a young man when he died, but he had major impact for the glory of God. But you know, many times a man or woman used of God has been influenced by godly parents to help him or her along his way. And this was true in this man, John the Baptist's life. He had a godly mother, her name was Elizabeth. But he also had a godly father, his name was Zacharias. Let me pause here and say that it's a wonderful thing when a mom and dad both are right with God. And they want God's best for their child. As we do this simple study today of this man's life, this father on Father's Day, it's interesting to note how many things said about him was also true about his wife. You know, it's interesting here, the way this is the way it should be. Even though I'm talking to fathers today specifically, it's interesting to see this husband and wife on the same page. You know, God help our husbands and wives here at Buffalo Ridge and our fathers and our mothers to be united in the things of Almighty God. As we consider John the Baptist's daddy this morning, I want to apply several thoughts just as we highlight this chapter, walking through it here a little bit. Things that we'd see was true about Zacharias, this father of John the Baptist, that should be true of all fathers here today and really every single person here today, but specifically fathers. As a matter of fact, I encourage you, especially if you're a father, to make this outline a prayer list. And God, help me to be that. Help me to be that. Help me to be that kind of daddy. Help me to be that kind of a father. Let's walk through these verses together. Number one, his father Zacharias, first of all, was righteous before God. You see this in verse number 6. Now I'm going to highlight some of these verses for you. Notice this now. In verse number 5, it's talking about him, Zacharias, and his wife Elizabeth. Notice verse number 6. And they were both righteous before God. Notice that now. Righteous before God. The word righteous here means innocent. It means when God looked at him, he was innocent. It means that he was right or holy. Now, this is no doubt the greatest thing that could be said about John's father. Beyond anything else, the greatest thing that could be said about John's father and any father is that he was righteous, he was innocent, he was just, he was holy, get this now, before God. See, this means in the sight of God and in his presence, this man was a righteous man. This man was a holy man. This man was an innocent man. Now, friends, the only way that can be said about an individual is if they are a child of the living God. The only way that somebody can have God look at them and God say, he's innocent, she's innocent, he's holy, she's holy, he's right, she's right. The only way that can happen is if God Almighty has forgiven their sin and their sin is no longer in account. The Word of God teaches that when we're born into this world, we are born sinners at enmity, the enemy of God. We're born into the seed line of Adam that ends in spiritual death. However, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the righteous one, we who are at enmity with God can become righteous before God. I've got right here, praise his holy name. Romans 3:10 says that it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, the Father, hath made him, the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The greatest thing that said about John's father, the greatest thing is that he was righteous before God. You know, in the same way, if you're a father today, if you're really an individual, but I'm applying this to fathers, this is too the greatest thing that can be said about you. A child having a father who is righteous in the presence of God is what this country needs. Give us more fathers who are truly children of God and truly righteous in the sight of God. Let me ask you a question this morning before we proceed to point number two. Do you know when God looks at you that he sees an innocent person? Do you know that when he sees you that he sees a righteous person? That he sees a holy person? Has there been a time in your life where you, with all of your heart, you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into your heart and forgive your sin, and his righteousness was placed on your account, and now you're innocent before Almighty God? Are you listening? The greatest thing that you can know is that you're forgiven. The greatest thing you can know is that you're saved and born again. Because if you're not saved and born again and righteous before God, forget the rest of the message. It's not for you. Because it all starts right there. Number one, his father Zacharias was righteous before God. Number two, same verse number 6, he walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now, I know that's a long point, but I'm just giving you a direct quote here. He walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. The second thing we see mentioned about John's father is how he walked in all God's commandments and in all of God's ordinances blameless. This means that he lived his life in obedience to the will of God. Notice how the Bible tells us he walked in all the Lord's commandments, all of them, and in all the ordinances of the Lord. This goes to show he didn't pick and choose what to obey. You know, there's a lot of people pick and choose what to obey today. I don't like that. I'm not doing it. I don't care who says it. I know God says that, but I'm going to do it anyway. I know God doesn't want me to do that, but I'm going to do it. Or I know God wants me to do that, but I'm not going to do it. You understand? Zacharias was a man that he just went to God, and if God said do it, he did it. If God said don't do it, he didn't do it. You know, that's a great way to live your life. You know, really, that's the Christian life. It really is. It's a life of obedience. He lived a life of simple obedience. He did it to the point that he was blameless. You know what the word blameless means? That, I mean, the word, now listen, this is God's word. The Holy Spirit of God inspired this. And he said, put in there that he obeyed, he did all of my commandments, all of my ordinances, blameless. You know what that means? It means faultless. It means unblameable, irreproachable. In other words, he had a wonderful testimony of just obeying God. God, give us more men like that. Amen or not this morning. Just men that if God says do it, you can count on it, he's going to do it. He's just going to do it. You know, an interesting point the Bible brings out is when this statement is given, listen to me please, when this statement is given about him, it's also mentioned that this couple had no children. They had no children. Now listen to me. Back in this day, not today, but back in this day, the Bible days, this truth was looked upon as a reproach. It was a major reproach for a lady and a man who came together in marriage not to have children. That was a reproach back in Bible days. This shows, now get this, this shows that God's grace does not exempt anyone from trouble. However, instead of getting mad at God and questioning his dealings, this man, even when his wife was not able to give birth, this man just kept on obeying God. Even though there was a trial going on, even though there was something that he didn't choose for himself, even though there was a trouble taking place, even though there was reproach taking place, this man just kept on obeying God. God help us to live like that. You know, in the same way, all fathers can learn a valuable lesson. All people, but I'm applying it to fathers now. We can learn a valuable lesson here. The lesson is to find the commandments of the Lord and obey them regardless of your current situation. If you're on a mountaintop, obey God. If you're in a valley, just keep on obeying God. We need fathers today who have a blameless testimony of doing all the Lord has commanded in His precious word, determined to be a father of the Bible who obeys all God's commands. This is what our children need more of today. Dads that they know, our children know, if God tells my daddy anything, he'll do it. Does your children know that? Would your child come up and testify, and if I as pastor said, is your daddy obeying the Lord? Would your child stand and say, I don't care what God tells my daddy, daddy's answer's yes to God. Now this is a convicting thought, friends, because our children know. They know. They know if daddy's right with God. They know if daddy obeys God. John the Baptist's life, the Holy Spirit answered it. So let me tell you something about John's daddy. He obeyed all my commands. He obeyed all my ordinances, and he did it blamelessly. The Word of God says in Luke 11:28, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. Not just hear it, but they also keep it. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the Word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Number one, he was righteous before God. Number two, he walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Number three, he was faithful to his God-given duty. Let me explain what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the same time, at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now that's key. That's key. I'll explain it here momentarily. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Here's where I get my third point. This was a daddy who was just faithful to his God-given duty. See, it's brought out in these verses how Zacharias was a priest. He was a priest. And it was the priest's duty to burn incense. This was his God-given duty. That's what God gave him to do. This was God's will for his life, to burn incense. This was the place of his particular service. Now notice how the Bible says there appeared an angel standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Where did they burn incense? At the altar of incense. Right after this, it says Zacharias saw him. There appeared an angel at the altar of incense. Then Zacharias saw him. You know what this tells me? This goes to show that he was in his place, faithfully doing his priestly duty given to him by God. I don't know everything about this job, but I know that this man was faithful to be found where he was supposed to be. This is where the angel of the Lord appeared, and it's my contention, that had he not been where he was supposed to be, he would not have seen the angel that day. You say, prove it. I think I just did, because it says the angel appeared on the right side of the altar. Are you listening to me? The angel did not appear chasing Zacharias. He appeared where Zacharias was supposed to be. And when he was appeared where Zacharias was supposed to be, and because Zacharias was where he was supposed to be, he saw the angel that day. The point is every person listening to me, every one of us, and I'm applying it to fathers, you understand, but just apply it to your own life, every person here has a God-given duty. God has given every one of us something to do. He has. He has a will for your life, is what I'm trying to say. We need to find our place. Find your altar of incense. It's called the center of God's will. Have you ever heard somebody get up and say, I have been right and smack dab in the middle of the center of God's will? You ever heard that? That's what I'm preaching here. Where's your altar of incense? Everybody has one. What does God have for you to do? What is God's will? And here's what I say, find it and just do it faithfully. Let me say here that you may not be much just like me, but you can be faithful and determined to be faithful in the things of God. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let me ask you, are you being faithful to what God has given you to do? Notice I said what God, not what you've given, but what God has given you to do. Are you faithfully serving the Lord? Number one, he's righteous before God. Number two, he walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Number three, he was faithful to his God-given duty. Number four, he prayed. He prayed. This is found in verse number 13. Notice this. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And notice this. The angel of the Lord appears to Zacharias and said, thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. So what's it tell you he's praying for? Your prayer's heard. Your wife's going to give birth to a bouncing baby boy. By the way, what a boy God gave him. Amen. Maybe there's a lady praying for children now. You keep praying. You keep seeking God. Trust Him. He knows what's best. And you keep praying and asking God to do His will in your life. See, the word heard means to listen to. By the way, he was not only a father who prayed, but he was a father who prayed and it got the ear of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to know when you pray that God listens to you? Do you want that? Then be a righteous person before God. Be a person who walks in all of His ordinances and commandments blameless. See where I'm going with this? Be a person who's in his place that God gave him to be faithfully. And when you pray, God will listen. I didn't say He'll give you what you ask, but He will listen. You know what this tells me where it says, thy prayer is heard? The point is that Zacharias had to be praying for his prayers to be heard. That's a deep thought, isn't it? You didn't know your pastor was that smart, did you? What am I saying to you? According to the context, he was seemingly asking God for a child. He was a man who went to God in prayer and God heard his prayers. This goes to show that delay is not necessarily a denial with God. You know, in the same way, one of the greatest things can be said about a father is that he's a dad who knows how to pray and get a prayer answered. May I say this to you? And I mean this with every ounce of my being. It matters very little if my son and my daughters think that I'm a decent pastor. It matters. But it matters very little whether they think I can preach or not preach. But I'll tell you what really matters in life is, do they have a daddy that knows how to pray? Do they have a father that when he prays, God listens? Now I'm cut, friends. I'm convicted. I want to be a dad like that. It's one thing to get up in front of folks and preach. It's another thing to get in your closet and pray. How's your prayer life? Are you a praying father? Are you a praying Christian? The Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Let me ask all of us fathers a question here. If your child has a need, and they will have needs, if your child has a real need and he knows he needs to get a prayer through, and he could go to one person and ask them to pray, would he choose you? Does your child think so much about your prayer life that if they want to get a prayer through to God, they don't think of the pastor first? They don't think of some other person first. They think of mama or daddy. Is that convicting? Maybe a little? This man prayed. By the way, wouldn't you like to hear Zacharias pray? The Word of God says, in Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things at hand, be ye therefore sober and watch and pray, and watch unto prayer. We all know it's right to pray. We know it's right. We know it's of God. The question is, are we really praying? Are we really, really praying? Zacharias prayed. This is just points to apply to our lives. Number five, Zacharias, his father, responded right to chastisement. He responded right to chastisement. Look at verse number 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, my wife well stricken in years. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, till the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. The people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Let me paraphrase what's happening. The angel comes to him and he says, thy prayer is heard. You're going to have, your wife's going to give birth to a bouncing baby boy. He's going to be in the spirit of Elias. He's going to have the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, how's this going to take place? I'm an old man. And Gabriel says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And he says, you're going to be dumb. You're not going to be able to speak. Why? Because you don't believe the words of God. You don't believe the words of God. He sinned. He's not believing in God, lack of faith. So God strikes him, chastises him, makes it where he can't speak. How did he respond? Did he get mad? Did he get upset? Did he quit on God? No. Look at verse 62. The Bible says, and they made signs to his father. This is after John was born. Remember, back in this day, it was customary to name the firstborn son after the father, remember? They wanted to name him after his father, Zacharias. But the angel of God said, when he's born, you name him John. You give him John's name. Here's this man under the chastising hand of God. God has stricken him because he's disobeyed the Lord. God's chastising him because he disobeyed God. He didn't believe God. But yet when they made signs to his father, verse 62, how he would have him called, he asked for a writing table and wrote saying, his name is John. What's the point here? The point is that once he heard the message from the angel, he doubted. And the fact that he was speaking with an angel of the Lord was not enough of a sign to him. Think about it, friends. An angel was talking to him. He doubted the message from God and spoke this doubt. And speech is a divine gift. And he used it to doubt God. And the angel told Zacharias he would be dumb and unable to speak until the day that the child was born. He came out of the temple and was unable to speak unto the people. This lasted for at least 9 months. Think about it. The angel just said she's going to give birth. He comes out. He's silent here for at least 9 months. His doubt was being chastised by the hand of the Lord. Howbeit, at the end of this chastising period, we see Zacharias, when asked what to call his son, asked for a writing table and said his name is John. Oh, this is such a blessing. A blessed thought that I'm trying to get across here. Get this. Instead of getting angry with God and going further into doubt and disbelief, we see him at the end of it all just submitting to the Lord and calling the name of his son what the angel told him to name him. In this, we see this dear man had a moment of weakness that was punished. But when all was said and done, he responded right. You know, somebody said, it's not what happens to me, it's what happens in me. A lot of things happen to you, but it doesn't mean it has to happen in you. If God chastises his children, he does it in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 13. I'm not going to read it. But you see there that he does it for our profit. God, our Father, loves his children too much to let us go out of the way without spanking us back into his will. He chastises us. But if you're living under the chastising hand of God, understand he loves you. And just determine that you're not going to buck up against it. but you're just going to submit to it. Because all he's trying to do is get you into the place where he can bless your life. That's all he's doing. Number five, he responded right to chastisement. Two more and we're done. Number six, he praised God. He praised God. We see this in verse number 64. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Once Zacharias obeyed by naming the child John, the Bible says his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. You know what the word praise means? It means he spoke well of God. It means he blessed God. It means he thanked God. That's all in that word praise. He spoke well of him. He thanked him. He blessed him. Here this dear man of God is. He has undergone a time of doubt, but he has responded to it by all just keeping obeying the Lord. Now we see his speech restored, and we see him speaking well of God, blessing God, thanking God. What a sight this must have been. His silence of unbelief had been exchanged for a song of praise. You know, in the same way, let us all, fathers especially today, see the goodness of God in our lives and break out into heartfelt praise to our great God. May I say this to you? He's been good to all of us. Amen. He's been good to us. He has blessed our lives. He always has been. He always is. And he always will be good. He's a good God all the time. And he's looking for fathers who just praise him. Fathers who just speak well of him. Fathers who just thank him and bless his name. Psalm 150 verse 1, praise you the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Luke 19:37, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that he had seen, that they had seen. We're looking at Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, several things about him. He was righteous before God. He was innocent before God. You can only be innocent if you've trusted Jesus Christ. Number two, he walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. He didn't pick and choose. If God told him what to do, he did it, and he obeyed it blamelessly. Number three, he was faithful to his God-given duty. God has a will, had a will for his life. And for him, because he was a priest, and it was his duty to burn incense, his place of blessing, his place in God's will was at the altar of incense. And that's where the angel appeared. So he was just found faithful to his God-given duty. Number four, he was a father who prayed, and God listened when this man prayed. He was a father who responded right when he was chastised. This man doubted God. He questioned God, and God struck him. He chastised him. He made it where he couldn't speak. But this man responded right to God's chastising hand. He didn't rebel under it. He didn't get mad about it. He just obeyed God. Whenever they passed a tablet to him, he said, his name is John. Number six, he praised God. And then we close with this thought. Number seven, he was a father who was filled with the Holy Ghost. We see this in verses 67 to 79. I'm not going to read all of that, but I am just going to read verse number 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. This verse tells us Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. See, he broke out into a prophecy because of that, in which we see his belief in the Word of God spoken to him. He gives the same prophecy given to him in verses 68 through 79. You see him speaking the truths of God's Holy Word while being filled with the Holy Ghost. He was busting forth with praise to the Lord and to his God. This dear man of God who has just become a father is full of the Holy Ghost, showing great faith in the Word of God and the God of the Word he once doubted. You know, may every father listening, every Christian, but especially fathers today, may every father listening to me right now call out to God from your heart and beg God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. What a difference Holy Ghost-filled fathers could make in this church. What a difference Holy Ghost-filled fathers could make in this nation and around the world. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And by the way, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, your praise and speech will not be centered on another human being, but it'll be centered on the Lord and His precious Word. You say, Jody, how do I know if I'm Holy Ghost filled? What do you speak about? Who do you talk about? Are you more interested in the Game 7 tonight? Are you talking more about Steph Curry and LeBron James? Or can you not help yourself? You just have to talk about Jesus. You just have to talk about His Word. Because when the Holy Ghost of God filled Zacharias, he was praising God, praising His Word, lifting up the Word of God. Show me how you speak, and I'll show you if you're a Spirit-filled Christian. Are you a father like this? Are you a daddy like this? You put John the Baptist's father on display, and you see these points. He was righteous before God. He was innocent when God looked at him. He walked in all of God's commandments and all of God's ordinances blameless. He was just faithful to be found where God's will was for his life. He knew how to pray and get God to listen. When God chastised his disbelief, he didn't get mad and get bitter and angry at God. He rather submitted to God and responded right. He was known for praising God for his goodness. And he was known as a father who was filled with the Holy Ghost. God, give us daddies like that. Are you one? Because you can be before you leave. Are you a Christian like that? Because you can be when you leave. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you today. We thank you for the privilege to preach. And as we have preached our heart today, I pray, dear Lord, that you will draw the net, that you'll give the invitation. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. You've listened well today. I appreciate it. Whether you're a faithful member or whether this is your first time here, thank you for being here. And as they begin to play through softly, let me just work down through this list. Would you let me do that? Have you today know that you are righteous before Almighty God? You know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you are born again, that you are blood washed, and that you're on your way to heaven. Have you know that as God looks at you, you are innocent, you are just, you are holy? Friends, the only way you can know that is if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has forgiven you on the basis of His shed blood on Calvary. Have you been born again is what I'm asking. Have you know that you're in the family of God? Would you raise your hand? You know you're saved. You know you're born again. God bless you. Isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that? Don't ever get over it. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I could not raise my hand to that. But the next time somebody asks that question, I sure would like to be able to. I'm not righteous before God, but I want to be. I'm lost. I need to be saved. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I want to be righteous. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. You can put your hand down. If that's you, in just a moment when we give an invitation, we want you to come. We want you to come. Let us take a Bible. We'll have a man with a man, a lady with a lady. And we'll share with you how Jesus Christ wants to forgive you and make you righteous before God. Have you today say, Jody, let me deal with fathers. May I do that since this is Father's Day? Let me deal with them first. Maybe there's something that was said today, whether it's your prayer life or being found right where your God-given duty is, or responding right to chastisement, or praising God, or just being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Or maybe just obeying God blamelessly. Maybe you're a father today and God is speaking to you, because God says, that's the kind of father I want you to be. Now, friends, it could be that you are a father like that, but the Lord's just saying, you're doing good. Keep going, keep going, keep going. It doesn't mean you're under conviction about it. It could mean that the Holy Spirit's just encouraging you, saying, this is good. Keep going. Keep being a father like that. How many of you fathers today say, God is speaking to me? I want to be a father like that father, Zacharias. I want to be Holy Spirit filled. I want to be used of God. I want to be able to get a prayer through to God like Zacharias. God is speaking to me. I'm a dad, and I want to be a father like that. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine if God is speaking to you like that? God bless you. God bless you. I'm raising my hand with you. I want to be a father like that. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Have you, maybe you're not a father, maybe you're a lady, or maybe you're just not a father right now, maybe you're a young person, or God's not blessed you with children yet, whatever the case may be, but God is using this in your life. And you know, Jody, I'm not a father, but God's really speaking to me about this. I want to be a Christian like that, like Zacharias, who's filled with the Holy Spirit of God, can get a prayer through, or God listens to me. I'm not a father, but God is speaking to me in this message. I need this. I want this. I desire this. If God's speaking to you that way, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. I want to invite you who raised your hand to the altar here in a moment. If you can get on your knees, get on your knees. If you can't, just have a seat on the front pew. Or make an altar of your seat there. Pray and ask God to help you. Before we pray and extend this invitation, I want to encourage you that if you have a father who's still living and he's a father like this, if you really consider your father to be like this, like Zacharias, would you be an honest young person? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine if you consider your dad to be a dad like this? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. If you raised your hand, you ought to get on your face and thank God that you have a daddy like that. Have your daddies in heaven, and God's reminding you of him today. Would you raise your hand? God's reminding you of him. Yes. Isn't it a blessing to have a godly father? You know what I think would be great? I think it'd be great for people to respond because God spoke to them. But I also think it'd be great for people to respond just in honor of your dad, whether he's in heaven or still alive, to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me a daddy like that. It'd be good for some of you to come and pray for your dad. God, make my daddy like that. Give me a daddy like that. He's not like that right now, but make him like Zacharias. Hey, that's a good prayer to pray right there, friends. And wouldn't it be good for dads to take the lead and grab their families and bring them to the altar and say, God, help me be a father like this, and help our family to be obedient to you. However God's using it, you respond. Let's all stand together, please. Father, take it and use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As soon as Gary begins to sing, whether he spoke to you, whether you want to come and thank God for your father, whether you want to come and pray for your father, or whether you're a father, want to bring your family, as Brother Gary sings, would you leave your place and come now? Would you do it? Come right now.
Have thine own way.
Come talk to God.
Lord,
learn to respond. Come on. Come talk to the Lord.
Thou art the
if God has spoken to you, come on. Come talk to God.
I am the clay.
God, make me a dad like that.
Mold
make me a father like that. God, thank you for my father. Make my father like that. Help me to be like that. May the Lord help us. Help us all. May the Lord help us all. May God help us. Amen.
Have thine own way.
Just keep playing through.
Lord,
keep playing through.
Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway.
Let's sing one more verse. Nobody else comes. We'll be done. We'll be done. Let's sing one more verse, please.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make
look this way. We're getting ready to pray. Some of you are visiting with us today. Take your visitor's card out and get your free gift there at the Welcome Center. We are dealing with one about their salvation here up front. So as we say amen, I'm going to ask you to quietly to leave the auditorium and let's give some privacy here so that the Lord can deal in a sufficient way. Okay? Brother Marty Scrogg, sir, please. Please, men, as you leave, get this book as you leave. The usher should have them at the doors. Thank you.